always a fascinating topic. Which it, like
the thing very to do these days so. Is just make a call and don't leave a voicemail.
Oh, it's I thought you were going to say just like it.
It can never be repeated. It can never be confirmed or denied.
So you're of the belief that this is all just a smokescreen because everybody knew what was going to happen. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm of the belief that you should never write down what you're really feeling, because at some point, if it's looked at the wrong way, it's going to come out, because it's on the cloud. It's somewhere. It'll be in the TV screen somewhere. So if you just call somebody and rant and make sure that nobody's recording anything, then I think you're in the clear for the future.
Reading my mind.
I'll call you later, Clinton. I'll call you later.
He's Izzy Gutierrez. Monica McNutt is here as well. I am Clinton Yates. It is Thursday. I will not say the name of the day because I don't need to, but we have NBA to discuss. Kyrie Irving, Monica's good friend in New York, has decided he's going to return to the court. And the Nets, well, the Nets look pretty good. They managed to win a game. He scored 22. We got off to a slow start. I mean, I don't know. Alabaster, what's the first topic? We went over a lot of this in terms of how we were gonna discuss this in the pre-show. But what do you want to talk about?
All good. So we will talk about Kyrie Irving. But before we get there,
okay,
I have one request for you guys, and that is to tweet out the show to the link so everyone can hear your brilliant candor.
I've heard that
about Kyrie Irving.
I didn't even know I didn't do that. Hold on. This is like...
I'm getting on it.
Oh, my God. I RT'd it is what we can... Oh, look. The big account did it. Okay. See, look at that. Inception. Okay. All right. Done. Done. Oh, is that retweeting music?
Oh, wow.
Hey, baby. Throw on some of that retweet music. That good RT. That's what I want to hear tonight. You got the candles lit. Oh, yeah. I got that RT music going. Hot off
look
the street.
Look at you, bro. And your voice, your deep.
Welcome to the Quiet Storm. You know about that. Anyway, this is way off the rails here. Okay, now, first topic, Alabaster, now that you have gotten your DJ tunes in.
First topic. The Nets are now the odds-on favorites to win the title over the Warriors. Does that make sense to you now that Kyrie is back only as a part-time player?
Monica, you live in New York, and you're the hoopster here. What you got?
I am of the camp that is slightly railing against this. I shouldn't say against it. All right, cool. We found the loophole. No rules are being broken. But I am very much a true to the process type of chick, right? Even if, guys, it literally comes down to game 7 in Brooklyn and Kyrie can't play. Like, at some point, this is going to be slightly problematic just by virtue of the way that the game is played. And I get it. We're talking about James Harden, Kevin Durant. We're now talking about the select of the elite group of NBA players. I am not worried about how well they play with Kyrie on the floor. But when you look at this Nets teams this year, this has been a lot of their identity. And so the most impressive part of his return last night, in fact, was that he was willing to lock in on the defensive end. But so we're going to be an offensive team when Kyrie's with us and a defensive team when he's not? Like, I just think at some point, right now it's all roses and, you know, rainbows and he's back and kumbaya. I am just not sold on it, y'all. Yes, they're better with him, but ultimately him not being there full time, I think you're going to get burned somehow.
Can you even talk about basketball when it comes to this? Can you even talk about what they looked like? Because on one hand, you're going to be like, wow, that team's going to be really formidable. On the other hand, you're going to be like, wow, that team's not going to be there for half the games. And so you just don't know. And the one thing that I just did immediately after the game, well, you know, about an hour after the game, whenever people actually publish these things, is just read the quotes. And, you know, he got asked, obviously, about his vaccine status, about if anything changes. And he's just basically saying, just pushing, kicking that can down the road. We'll see what happens as we go. And it sounded like, you know, not to put words in his mouth, but it sounded like, and I don't think anybody should be surprised by this, that he's just hopeful the rules change before the end of the season and not that he's the one who's going to have to, you know, sort of back down and take the shot. And so I don't know whether this is a pride thing. I don't know whether this is, you know, stand your ground thing. But there's almost no conversation you can have about basketball and about whether they're favorites or not unless you know he's going to be available, because they are the favorites now. All of a sudden, they are the favorites now. And does that mean that securing, oddly, a number one seed and home court advantage throughout, which would be a disadvantage for this team because they're going to have one of their players missing, like, is that going to make them championship favorites? The only thing that's going to make them championship favorites to me is who I know is going to be available in the postseason. Same thing with the Warriors. If you tell me that Steph's going to turn his ankle severely on April 1st, then I'll say, okay, they've got no shot.
You know, this is interesting to me because I think that the basketball did show something yesterday. I was concerned that it just might not work. It was possible that Kyrie would come back and they would need, I mean, you know, you look at teams like, I don't know, the Lakers, who haven't been able to figure anything out in terms of their gelling. And, you know, I was very surprised at how well he played on just a basic level. This guy was talking about he was hanging out with middle schoolers and high schoolers working out. He wasn't even available to practice, and he managed to be pretty effective on the court. That said, Monica, I cannot understand a situation in which you literally don't know day to day whether or not a guy on your team is going to be there. This is testing the levels of professionalism and, frankly, friendship that he has on that team in a way that I don't know that I've ever really heard of in sports. I mean, you know, when you're a kid and you go knocking around on doors, so to speak, and asking if people can come out to play, sure, you might think that you might not get somebody who's a ringer to come out to the playground that day. But this is a completely different situation, and that's exactly what's going on with Kyrie. So it's got to be a real, real mental tough spot for Steve Nash, because you just don't know. You know what I mean? And I mean,
I'm with you.
At this point, I feel like if they get anywhere in the top four, there's part of me that would give Steve Nash a Coach of the Year vote just for dealing with the noise. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty unbelievable to me at this point, Monica.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question for Monica.
Go
ahead. If you're around these guys, okay, it's going to be a guess, but does Kyrie Irving have to provide more solid, concrete reasoning for his decision to his players and coaches than he is coming close to offering the public? Like, if you're Kevin Durant, do you just need to hear something from Kyrie Irving more than, hey, I don't like mandates and I don't want the shot? Like, does there have to be more of a concrete reason, or is it just, hey, I respect my guy regardless of what he's telling me?
I'm leaning toward the latter, Izzy, and I'm only thinking about me personally, the handful of knuckleheads in my like, I'm not our relationship. Am I mindful of that? Yeah, but I'm not going to dissolve our relationship. And in this case, where KD is locked in on trying to win, when he calls Kyrie a master, I don't think that's hyperbole coming from him,
no,
right?
No.
And so,
top five point guard all time. I'll stand by that.
Ooh, we're going to do that today?
Okay.
We did it yesterday.
We did it yesterday. Say, I was there.
I missed that.
I don't think that these guys are pushing the vaccine part. Now, what I will say is it is kind of amazing to me, quite honestly, how we are now at least Kyrie didn't deceive us and we respect his stance. And here he is, as if prior to this year, Kyrie already wasn't a guy for whom exceptions were made. And we heard little oddities coming out of the locker room and he had to be sort of catered to. So the way that this story is evolving is super fascinating to me, because the only way that it works is if they win a championship. If it doesn't work, then we'll always say, maybe if Kyrie was there in a pivotal regular season game, maybe if he was there in a series clincher when we get to the playoffs. Like, the only way it works is they have to win a championship.
Yeah, it's almost more.
I wish it was more fascinating.
Back, yeah, go ahead.
I wish it was more fascinating. Like, I wish there was more intrigue to what, you know, Kyrie is actually doing, you know, standing by or what have you, because, you know, you try to get hints and you go on his IG and it's just a bunch of stuff that I don't know what it means. And so it's just like, I really don't know what his messaging is. And so I wish it was more intriguing, confusing, but it just kind of feels like, you know, if they're not really standing up to him, it's because, wow, he's like that good and we have to walk around on eggshells, on almost like Antonio Brown. Like, you don't want him to blow up, or like you said, you don't want to dissolve the relationship. And so it's like, but what, aren't you swallowing some pride there if you're Kevin Durant? Like, you are the multiple time champion. You are the guy who's respected as, you know, one of, if not the greatest scorer of all time. Yes, Kyrie is a master. He is, you know, I was surprised he was even that rusty early on because he's that good at basketball. But aren't you basically giving up some of that, swallowing your pride a little bit to say, let's just work with what he's handing us and not really fire back,
I mean,
you know, and not really demand something?
I think you are, Izzy, but like, and this is where like we could have a whole non-sports conversation.
Oh, yeah.
diverse, don't agree. You know what I mean? Like, I just think for them, or for KD in particular, the goal is to win. And to have Kyrie some of the time, just on pure basketball, is better than none of the time. Although I still stand by, you can't cheat the process also.
I don't know, man. I mean, just the level. Listen, we already know that the association is the pettiest league in America. And to think of the sort of passive aggressiveness that's building up, should something go wrong in, say, a game six at home, when somebody misses a free throw, you don't know somebody's going to blow up and say, well, that's because you weren't there in October, you J-hole or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you're afraid of, is that, sure, they might be dealing with it now, but when that one thing goes wrong and he crosses one particular individual, somebody might say something that they regret. And I think that's
Well, he can't say anything, can he? He can't say a word. He can't be the leader in the huddle. He can't do all that stuff on the road games and not at home. He can't.
No, and that's why it's interesting to think about, because I think he is a leader in that regard. And if he can't even talk as a leader on the team, I mean, I guess his basketball value is worth one thing on the court. As you saw, he didn't score a bucket till the second quarter, but I don't know that it's just such an odd thing to think about. Is the compromise for who the player can be overall worth it just to have them on the court in terms of their personality?
Well, I think that's kind of what you spoke to before, right? When you said they might have issues, because 12-3 together, it's tiny sample size.
Very tiny.
Over like random periods of time, mm-hmm, right? Like it's not like it was 13 games consistently. And so, and yet in that time, 12-3, like, can just spill like 140 points onto the floor without trying hard. And it's just like, okay, that team, unlike the Lakers, who you have to really work with, you know, square pegs and round holes, this is just a bunch of buckets. And that's okay. That I've seen enough to recognize, even last year in the playoffs, with, you know, that being the difference of the Bucks getting knocked out and the Nets advancing, like, I've seen enough to think, yeah, that absolutely is enough to win a championship, especially if they do get, okay, what was this, 15? If they get, let's say, 15 games together in the first three rounds, then it's all of a sudden they're going into the finals feeling like they've, you know, better than they've ever been. And so, yeah, I think this is absolutely a championship team. And this is why, you know, the Kevin Durant thing is probably the most fascinating part about it. It's just like, yes, there's a lot of pressure on James Harden to win a championship, but it doesn't feel the same from the outside, right, in the big picture. Kevin Durant establishing himself away from the Warriors, making this bold move to put this team together in Brooklyn and making them the cool, unstoppable thing. Like, that's the finish line. That's what people want to see. And I'm wondering when KD's just going to be like, hey, we need you for all of this. You're letting me down. I don't think he's ever going to get to that point, though.
That, I'm with you. I don't know if he's built that way.
Right.
I'm not sure. That's loaded. Ooh.
I'm very
unless there's something that they think that they know is coming in the future. Maybe they just think he'll acquiesce eventually, right, or they know something that we don't. But if I'm Kevin Durant, I would say at some point, yeah, whether obviously private, they don't want to do this thing publicly. Like, at some point, yeah, let's just put these cards on the table. Are you going to be there for me or not? If you're only going to be there halfway, then I don't want you there.
Wow. I'm really intrigued as to how they're going to receive this team the next time they play at home as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you've gotten a little taste and then he's actually not there, I wonder how the Barclays crowd is going to react to that. Last thing I'll say about this, if you cover the New York Brooklyn Nets, I can't believe I almost said New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets, and you are a beat writer, start writing the book right now, okay? Because it will be a bestseller, and this story with a new coach in terms of Steve Nash and no experience dealing with all these superstars, I would read this book tomorrow if I could and fast forward to the end of the season. Alabaster, what's next?
Does it matter how it ends, though, Yates? Like, would
no,
you read the book depending
it
how
doesn't.
It ends?
Okay. That's the thing. Okay. What's okay. already happened is fascinating enough. You know what I mean? If they win it, you make it a movie. How about that?
Mm. Shout out to Matt Sullivan, who wrote an incredible book about the Nets last year before all of this stuff happened.
That's
the
exactly.
All right, next topic. What do you expect from Klay Thompson and the Warriors when he there's optimism that he'll return this weekend.
Well, Izzy, I'll go to you first, since you're known to come off injury and start back strong in your job. You know what I'm saying? I figure this is something you know a lot about. What do you think about this?
Still getting in game shape, by the way. Yeah, look, I think it's crazy intriguing. Like, what do we expect? I mean, nobody really knows what to expect other than maybe Klay and the Warriors. But I do believe that the Warriors team has played long enough to show you that they're obviously a contender, that they have the depth, that they have enough size, and you have great defense and obviously a good scoring team. What will Klay do to disrupt some of that chemistry, perhaps? You know, whether it be Jordan Poole's shots, whether it be Jordan Poole's minutes, whether it be Andrew Wiggins' shots and Andrew Wiggins' positions on the floor, the defensive matchups, all that stuff, I think is going to take time. I think they have plenty of time to figure it out this year. I don't think they need to be the number one seed necessarily. But I think that's probably going to take a couple of months, and just to see what kind of, what version of Klay we got. Like we talked about KD just now, and right now he's back to playing both sides of the ball, tremendous basketball. But last season, he started off basically just saying, let me get my rhythm. And that means offense. That does not mean focusing necessarily on defense. And with Klay being such a great two-way player, is he going to be that guy defensively as well? Or is he just going to focus on one side of the ball just to kind of get himself in basketball rhythm? And those are all things that are going to play out over time. But I think in the end, they're going to be better than they're at their peak so far this season. I actually believe that, because he is such a fixture and such a threat to just go for not just a big number for a game, but a big number for a spurt, like for a quarter. He can just explode and be a huge difference. And so if he can be that level of offensive player and maybe not that level of defensive player that he has been in the past, I still think they'll be better than they have been.
I don't really expect anything. And like, I think it's not that I don't expect him to actually perform, but I'm with you in that I just want to see how he's moving. Like, I hope that ration prevails, and like, we know we're probably not getting Klay of 2 years ago when he was hurt, but the way that it's been talked about, and if we're to believe everything coming out of the Warriors camp, and he's gone hard in 5-on-5 with the rest of the team and the whole bit, like, I really don't have any expectations. I don't think this is going to be as seamless as people think. I think it's going to take a minute. Now, eventually, do I think he emerges for first look at scoring? It's some point is averaging 17, and then Otto Porter Jr. is averaging 8. So can he fall right into that mix? I think that's plausible for sure, but I really don't have many expectations in game one back.
Well, the interesting part about Klay and the way him sort of getting back into the rhythm is just that he doesn't need the ball in his hands. Like, he's had great scoring performances where he's dribbled, like, you know, 10, 11 times. And so I think that helps. And it certainly helps him get into a rhythm, because if it's catch and shoot, if it's catch, one dribble, shoot, like, he can do that in his sleep with one leg. Like, that part is not the difficult part for him. So once he gets back into the, you know, the movement and obviously the defense and everything else, then I think then you'll see a more aggressive, formidable version of him. But like, in terms of rent-a-shooter, like, I don't care what he's coming off of. You can't get a better option than this guy.
Rent-a-shooter.
938 days. I mean, that's got to be the longest 938 days of our lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to think about how many things have happened in between then. My goodness, what a strange day to bring that up. But that's a good point. Here's what I say.
It's very strange.
I'm sure he's thought about that a lot, too.
Here's my thing, is that unlike the Kyrie, Steve Nash, Brooklyn Nets situation, to me, the three things that line up between Klay, the Warriors, and their coach is that I'm far more optimistic about what this could be at the top than I am with pretty much any other situation, if for no other reason than looking at Klay's general body language when speaking to America. If this guy was not where he wanted to be, I don't think that you would, frankly, see him this happy on social media. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous to say, but like,
he wears his emotions.
Yeah,
he wears his emotions.
You know
emotions.
What I'm saying? Yes. And like, this guy looks to be in a good mood. And if nothing else, he's motivated. That whole 77 gag was pretty funny. Motivated from a basketball standpoint. Obviously still in step with his team as a teammate. The guy's part of the furniture for the Warriors. So the specific basketball might take some time, but I'm not worried about the team composition at all. I don't think you're going to see a situation where suddenly Steve Kerr has got to be yelling at guys because they're battling for buckets. He's still Klay Thompson, and I think they all understand that.
Yeah, no.
I think that's what would throw them off, is the idea of, you know, maybe trying too hard to get him going.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you put that stat up there, Charlie, because I was saying Steph is going to take a lot of the pressure off because he's been playing like this lately. And because he's got, what is it, a quad contusion?
Yeah,
that he
quad,
had something.
Quad
so by the weekend, yeah. By the weekend, probably feeling better, motivated. And if he's got Klay out there just to take the defense's eyes away from Klay, he's probably going to want to, you know, go off a little bit. So I think you're going to see a couple of good games from Steph, just if nothing else, just to elevate that joy that Klay coming back is going to bring to that team.
Okay, so I guess the real question is, will they beat the Cavs? Because the Cavs have been playing really well. I really like Evan Mobley, for the record. And Darius Garland is coming along. Like, it's at Chase Center, though. That's, yeah, they probably win.
They should win that game.
Yeah. I mean, the Cavs are coming along.
I don't think it matters.
They should win that game, for sure.
I don't think it matters if they win, but I think they probably will win. And, yeah, Evan Mobley, man. Woo. That guy had that little up and under little scoop looking like George Gervin the other day.
Was that?
Kuzma had to dap him up.
Was that your real hand, Alabaster? Where? What happened to the tiny hands? I thought I was told that your tiny hands
stunned by the size.
We're only hands.
The tiny hand got
there. They are. Oh my god! They have sleeves now. Yeah. These are new tiny hands. What is going on?
Is it sleeves or is it gloves? Because they're very, you know, concerned about disease. Oh, you show too much.
They have a hand interloper. Wow, they have opposable movements.
Wow.
This is amazing.
Look at you guys.
What's going on here? That's not a real
hand. The hands.
What are these?
It's real handsy today, guys.
This is awkward. Okay, next topic. You're keeping me out. These are my hands, just in case.
All right.
Yeah. Whose fingernails were those?
Next topic.
Those are creepy.
That was not a real hand.
I don't know if it was just the lighting or what.
What do you make of Antonio Brown's statements about Tom Brady, the Bucks, and his meltdown?
All right, I'm going to start here and please, just sort of review what's gone on. In the last 2 days, we've seen, or last week, we've seen Antonio Brown storm off a field in New Jersey. We've seen him call a good friend who's an Uber driver. We've seen him IG live from said car. We've seen him courtside at a Nets game. We've seen him hanging out
with... Don't you have to be vaccinated for that?
Again.
Sorry.
Separate question.
He did get vaxxed though, right? He just tried the fake card at first.
Yeah, okay. I think he did get vaxxed. Yeah. Right, exactly. Second, we saw him with Fablous, I believe, hanging out with Fabulous.
I missed that one.
I saw that. I don't know where that came into play, but, you know, New York is going to New York. And then today he went on a bit of an early morning rant in which he started doing something that we all hate to hear, which is released the texts. Now, that's what we were talking about at the top of the show. He let some texts fly, screenshots aplenty, one of which involved him sharing not only his bank account number, but also his two routing numbers, which is a major mistake financially. Thank you for that new PS5, as many said on the internet. He's having what would qualify as an adult meltdown.
Santa Brown.
You know, and it's difficult because we can get into the sort of ins and outs of each specific incident, but you know, I just, when I think about Antonio Brown, obviously he's had his issues in terms of his ability to control his behavior on a basic level, but he also just strikes me as a guy who has never really understood the basic framework of how people are decent to each other in society. It just seems like every time he reacts to something, he's got this idea in his head that there's a good guy and a bad guy. And he exists in this duality where he has to make sure that he has identified his enemy and therefore can conquer it, as opposed to just live his life. And I think that's the saddest thing of all to me. I don't need to prognosticate on his mental illness, or whatever may be the case. That's not really what it's about. I just think his basic societal understanding of what he's got to do to succeed has never really been there. And the NFL is the kind of place that you can actually strive with that kind of mentality, because people are, literally trying to knock your head off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so it's a very difficult situation, Monica. I don't know what you think about it.
No, Izzy, you go first. I'm still working through what I think.
Well, okay, because so this reaction and the overreaction, right, the sharing of texts and the doing it so obviously quickly and flippantly that you don't even notice that your bank account information is on there, all of that is the problem with Antonio Brown. And it's exactly why this situation on the bench the other day on the field, that you cannot side with him, because if everything that he said was true, which is, hey, I'm on the injury report. Makes sense. I've had conversations with my coach. He showed the text. I couldn't play. They shot me up with something that I didn't know what it was. That part, you get no excuses there. You got to know what you're getting shot up with. And the coach telling you, hey, get out there, you're done. All of that, if you wait till after the game, calmly, you know, give out that information and say, that's what I was presented with. How am I supposed to continue on with this team if they treat me that way? That you do get the benefit of the doubt and you do get everybody's side, but you can see the trigger. And he mentioned the word trigger. There was a trigger.
Yep.
There's always going to be a trigger with Antonio Brown, it feels like. So he's going to treat something over the top or just react too quickly, like he did with these things, with the Tom Brady stuff, which is surprising, right? Tom Brady, Alex Guerrero, like attacking a guy who basically was the reason you were with that organization, right? And all of a sudden, you flip on him like that, and it just goes to show you that, yeah, even though Bruce Arians was far from perfect, if all of this is true, or the Bucks or the doctors or whomever were far from perfect on their side of this exchange, like, you can't, you have to side with them, and you can't say that the guy who overreacted, that the guy who has a history of this, and the guy who has a history of that we're going to doubt, like, immediately, we can't side with that guy when he's reacting this way to everything that you present him with. Now that he's free from the organization, now he's just going off on everything. And it's just like, well, that's exactly what we don't want. That's exactly what's not really worth it with Antonio Brown. Last year, zip-lip, did what he had to do, won a Super Bowl. This year, a little bit more freedom in his actions, and then we see stuff like this.
I think, I don't know if I'd consider the last part of the statement sad or encouraging. The idea, I think he's sincere when he says, well, this figure, and over through sports, I mean, even through society, right? This idea of privilege. And he obviously is very talented at the wide receiver position, and no one can take that away. I thought, or I, at least I wanted to believe, that his relationship with Brady was sincere in terms of helping him move forward from what we've seen in the past. And to a point, it was. But I think his inability to handle an adult, but he keeps getting these chances too. So, like, I'm not even sure who, like, is there blame in this? I don't know that it's a side to say, like, one kind of fosters the other, because he continues to get these chances, and none of this behavior in many ways is new. Everybody thinks that they can fix it. So whoever the next team is, like, good luck.
Well, that's
well,
the question.
And I think everybody is anticipating.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry.
You do think he's going to play again, Izzy? You think he makes it back to the league?
No, I don't. I just don't think he is worth it to whatever team. Like, if you tell Aaron Rodgers, hey, you can have him even for this postseason run, I'm pretty sure it's like, I'm good. Like, I've shown enough. I don't want that that volatile situation in my huddle or in my locker room. And I think that's where you see, like, even the text with Alex Guerrero, and this is what I was saying before we got on the air, like, he responded, Guerrero did, to that text in a way that I could only assume that he thought, well, this is going to get out sometime, so let me be as nice as possible and as disingenuous, but as nice as possible and just not say anything that's going to get me in trouble. And that's what you have to be like around him. This is probably where Tom Brady is, right? It's just like, oh, he's being careful, he's being thoughtful and saying all the right things, but in his head he's probably like, man, this guy really screwed me over, but hey, I'm not going to be the bad guy here because he can turn anybody into the bad guy. So yeah. I just think it's not worth having to walk on those eggshells for this player, even though he is, you know, a spectacular player and can elevate your team some, I just don't think it's worth it.
He's got Washington football team written all over.
Talk about it, Yates.
Okay.
Like,
doesn't it have to be a really strong personality or person to bring him in, like a Tom Brady? That's why I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Like, I can't imagine the Washington football team just, what, because Ron Rivera wants him there? Like, or the next quarterback they bring in? That to me.
Are you familiar with the individual who makes personnel decisions for that football team?
In the tunnel lately, like,
right,
it's just
on.
All bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's the kind of
guy. What's there to ruin, right?
Right. I mean, and that's my point, is that there are teams that have enough sort of, I don't want to say pride, but almost ego, that they think, okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we treat him right, he'll be great and he'll put people in the seats. I'd say there's probably a handful of teams that, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that would probably take that risk at this point. Like, but you realize it's a risk. You don't act like it's something that it's not, you know, and I think your point, Monica, about him getting the chances and him continually welching them is a fascinating one. And this is what I was saying before about, look, this is garden variety stuff in the NFL on some level. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The way coaches yell at each other, the way they deal with injuries, it's just very much under a microscope because of the personalities involved. But it's been very revealing.
And how often do you see these reactions because of that?
Right. It's very revealing because of things with, I don't know, guarantees on bonuses and so on and so forth. People are mad about 10,000 things and have to be in order to play one football game. You know, and when it finally spills over and it kind of gets into the living room, so to speak, it's really weird to see. But, you know, AB has his issues, but I don't think that what's happening between him and this coach is really right now is really much different than probably happens between a million guys who just aren't as good as he is.
100%. And I even, Izzy, to your point, like, although I would have loved to see him handle it like a professional and an adult, I do question if he would have been given the benefit of the doubt still just because right. of his history?
Probably not. Probably right. not. But I think that's where it feels like he's one of those people that looks for the trigger. Mm-hmm. He's like, aha, right. he said that thing mm-hmm. that I right. know I'm gonna have on my side. Let me react to this in this grand way. And that's the part where it's just like, well, that's AB being AB. Yep. If you would maybe change the routine some, change the MO a little bit, then I think, yeah, maybe. I think people would be forced to, because it's not like Bruce Arians is this perfect person, right?
Is he out here with the very good, like, psychology takes? I was like, I had to step back. I was like, man, I have seen that before. Anyway, what's next, Alabaster? All
right, guys, it is time to play a game.
Yeehaw, what do we got today?
And that game is, what are the chances? Okay. We'll give you a topic, sometimes with a video, and you'll tell us the chances. The first we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers here, and our question is, what are the chances that Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay after this season?
All right, let's hear it.
Well, Adam, the grass is greener where you water it. I really believe that. And, you know, that's an adage to dissuade people from going out and taking risks and chances. Mm-hmm. And... you know, I think that, you know, where you spend your time and energy and what you choose to water will always be the greenest part of your life. And I decided, you know, when I came back that I was going to be all in with the team and all in to see things move forward to a better place. And that's what the conversations were about, you know, during the off season, was about being a part of those conversations that impact my ability to do my job. And I, you know, from one of the first days, Brian and I sat down, got on the same page, and it's been a really nice fall and winter.
Is that a rib?
Before we give percentages,
does he remember how this went? Okay, go ahead.
Right. No.
Before we give percentages, I have to ask you guys: do you think Aaron Rodgers was expecting laughter after he said the grass is greener where you water? I think he thought he was being deep as the ocean and was a little put off when he heard laughter. Like, what? No, I'm being serious now. I'm dead serious. Like, and because he went back to it like two times.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there was a definitive tone shift in the middle of that, and it was kind of like, are you upset because people don't think you're as smart as you think you are? Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of always the tone I get from him, where he acts as if, what do you mean? You know what I mean? And you're like, well, bro, like, you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain without being mocking, but some of the things he says are so kind of ridiculous that you're just like, who is your normal audience that thinks that this stuff makes sense? That's where I'm coming from. I'm just like, who is your squad? Who are your mans? You know what I'm saying? That are sitting around listening to this kind of stuff. I don't think he's going to play in Green Bay after this season. So I'm going to say 10%. But, like, I don't know if he's going to play football after this season. You know what I mean? After all the rigmarole of last year, let's just say they win the Super Bowl, Izzy. I could see him walking away and saying, I'm going to go on my red pill bro circuit and just talk to these guys, and it'll be fine. You know? I mean, that's a real part of life.
Yeah.
Monica, I think he has found his PJs, his little, you know, house slippers, and is feeling really comfortable in this bubble in Green Bay right here. Like, he went off the rails. Everybody went from, like, not everybody, a lot of people went from, man, this guy's the GOAT, to, yeah, he's the GOAT, but I just don't like him anymore. Like, I think a lot of opinions changed on him, and he's going to look like the winner for, assuming, let's just say, the Super Bowl thing, for saying, hey, I didn't force my way out. I came back and I did everything that I said I would do. And he's going to convince himself or convince the public that, yeah, no, I got more say in things. Clearly, we won. I did my part. I'm happy with what happened here. I'm happy with the compromise. I'm happy with whatever it was. I'm going to stay here, because he can just go on the Pat McAfee show in Green Bay and not have to really do a whole bunch of things. And there won't be, like, I think if you go to a New York City, if you go to Chicago, even, you know, you might be a little protected in Denver somewhat, but I don't think you're protected as you are in this place. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be very, very comfortable being the I told you so guy, but as long as he stays in Green Bay.
I think I'm frozen. Am I frozen?
No, you're not frozen.
I can hear you. I mean, okay. If you're a little chilly, it's because you live in New York.
I'm a little chilly. I'm with you, Izzy. It's funny, because I actually thought that he was going to force his way out at the beginning of the season.
95%.
But now, as all of this has unfolded, I don't think he's leaving. So I'm putting my chances, I'm putting it at 80. Because he's not going to have – the puppeteer power, right? Whether it actually means that the makes moves, that doesn't matter. But in his mind, like,
oh, now she is frozen.
Now you're frozen.
See, you
now
foretold it.
The weather
changed. Now brought it up. You're back.
Anyway, I think he stays. Because I just think he likes playing the mind games. I just think he stays.
All right, what's next?
All right, last one of these. What are the chances that Jacksonville's clown out works this weekend?
Okay, we need a so full confusing. Breakdown on what's going on here. Because some Jaguars fans are planning to wear clown attire to the Jaguars game. Those are called Jags fans uniforms, by the way.
That's not nice.
Separate discussion. To express their frustration with Shad Khan and the team. Look at the wires. What exactly are they so upset about? Alabaster.
Well, I mean, a specific coaching decision, perhaps. Maybe, you know, taking that number one quarterback that everybody thought was going to be great and maybe is not. I'm a little confused because, I mean, I don't know if this really works. Like, clown out. First of all, if you say it, you don't say it with a K-H, right? How do you know that it's for Khan? And my first thought when I saw it was a clown out. Like, is Clowney, like, on this team and all of a sudden having a resurgence? What is happening here? So I don't really know if it's going to work. But I don't know if, like, has he been, like, were Jacksonville fans, if they exist, or were Jacksonville fans, like, really up in arms when they hired Urban Meyer, when they, you know, brought on Tim right. Tebow, when they drafted Trevor Lawrence? Like, no, I think they were pretty much like, hey, this is amazing. This is probably going to work. Let's see what happens. And so I don't know if Shad Khan's the issue here. Like, he's doing what I would think a fan in his scenario would do.
Monica?
So when I first saw it, I was like, are the players dressing up as clowns? Are the players pissed? Like, I was like, what's happening?
That'd be funny.
I think Mina tweeted this like a couple weeks ago, and I don't know why it like stuck with me. She retweeted somebody that out. There's nothing you can say to lie. I think it was Jacksonville and Falcons fans maybe, because they've already experienced the depths of the low and they are still fans of their team. And so there's literally nothing you can say that can hurt them. And so I just think that this is the purpose it's going to serve.
Well, that's my thing. I'm like, if I don't know any Jags fans. I like to call them the Wires because I say Jaguars. But I'm like, if you're a Wires fan, I mean, what's the experience here? Are you expecting like building blocks on your way
viral.
To AFC titles? Like, no, you live in Jacksonville. You root for the Jaguars. They've been garbage forever since they ever existed. Like, what now suddenly makes you upset about it? I say this as somebody that is from D.C., you know what I'm saying? Where people have been getting crapped on for 30 years and still rooting for the team.
It's got to be coaching decisions is the only thing you can really harp on. Because, I mean, even with Blake Bortles, they ended up getting the guy that sort of, you know, I would say talked his way up to the top of the draft. And, you know, got to an AFC championship game with him and had to that old coach whose name escapes me right now, Tom Coughlin, who, you know, people were just like, maybe he put off players and sent players away. It wasn't really so I could say coaching decisions being what's sort of bringing down the Jaguars. But, like, you got the most you're going to get out of Blake Bortles. And so far, it doesn't look like your quarterback is the guy who's going to elevate your franchise necessarily. So why? What are we mad about? What are we clowning about?
You're just mad.
Duval County. If you ever want to look something up, by the way, look up the history of why Jacksonville even has an NFL franchise at all. It's a fascinating one. Take a look. What's next?
Jacksonville. Just put an H in Jacksonville then.
Well, it's fine. We threw out the percentages for that one, but it's okay. We'll move on.
Yeah.
And that we're going to bonus topics. And we just have a couple
of clown face percentage.
The first one is from a fan of the show, Samuel Mace, who commented, Kyrie Irving, top 5 point guard of part time.
I mean, he's top 2 of part time, and he's not number 2.
I love it.
Oh, that's
top 5 is something.
Top 5 of part.
That's awesome.
We got one more.
All right,
and this one's from our friend Long Live the Queen, who said, "Izzy's top 5 top 5 guards in the league. Number 1, Tyler Hero. 2, Kyrie. 3, Kyle Lowry. 4, Gabe Vincent, 5, Mario Chalmers."
I think if you flip 1 and 5, Not too incorrect.
Your boy Hero didn't look good last night. He was throwing cheap shots around. That was not great.
I
thought you were talking about his shooting percentages, not his. I mean, look, he got shoved. He got pushed.
I do kind of think that Miami has potential to kind of get it going here in the second part of the season, though.
Oh, yeah. Culture talk. Can we talk about how they got into beef with both Jokic and...
We almost made it through, Monica.
Jokic? I wasn't going to go culture. But
Did you see PJ Tucker last night, man? He was a point center if I've ever seen one.
Just put the
that guy's got that little push
up. He's my favorite. I love
we have to get out
jacket vest.
Once he culture discussion talks, I check out. That's
and they've got
works.
Tyler Hero, who's got a song named after him by Jack Harlow, and they have a guy on the team named Guy who looks like Jack Harlow. That's amazing.
Really That's hilarious.
Monica, you're going to be on SportsCenter coming up soon, right?
Yeah, in like 10 minutes. And then Justin.
What are you doing?
I got Around the Horn later, so okay, turn on the TVs.
I'm going to the beach. I'll see y'all later.
No.
Have a good one.
Peace out, y'all.
No. New Year is
it
real.
It is Thursday, January the 6th already.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.